You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have you with us. Dave Calder, Mike Grenham, Dave Tindall here, and ready to preview a couple of events on the schedule this week with the Portugal Masters and, of course, the Tour Championship as well. A warm welcome to Mike Grenham. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
We'll start with just a quick reflection on last week and Mark Leishman's superb front-running performance to win the BMW Championship, reward for his fantastic play in recent events, Dave.
Yeah, I think he's one of those, isn't he, who's now becoming the most underrated player on tour kind of champion, although that's obviously after a third and a first, maybe he's getting the recognition he deserves. I mean, we've seen him play well at Augusta before, made the playoff, didn't he, in the Open Championship. So he's clearly a top-class player and, yeah, just kept his form going. So superb win last week.
Let's get stuck into this week because we've got two events to look at, and we'll start with the Portugal Masters on the European Tour. And Thomas Peters heads the betting here with William Hill at 12-1. Andy Sullivan and Shane Lowry, both 16s. Torbjörn Olesen is 20-1. Alexander Levy, Eddie Pepperell, George Kutsaya, Kiradek Abibarnerat and Russell Knox, all 25s. And it's 33-1 and bigger the rest. This event at this course is always low scoring. It's now called the Dom Pedro Victoria Golf Course, and the host venue has yielded winning scores of 23 under par for the last two renewals. And back in 2007, Steve Webster won with a total of 25 under par. Course is only 7,146 yards long and plays to a par of 71. Big greens, fairways are wide. Arnold Palmer design, Mike, and not a golf course that really penalises errant play.
No, I have to be honest, Dave, and say I haven't had a massive look at this tournament. I've concentrated more on the American event, so I'm not actually having a bet on it myself. There's one guy, that one of the market leaders, that I might stick it in each way double, but other than that, I haven't overdone it.
My guess is you don't like this sort of event.
No, I don't.
It's all about putting, isn't it, really?
Yes. So I was kind of, I just thought I'd bypass it a little bit.
That's fair to say. The wind is the only real defence on this, as far as this golf course is concerned as well. And if the long-range forecast is to be trusted, the wind speeds might be a little breezy on Thursday evening, but the rest of the time it will be negligible. And this is an event that you've previewed for Roto World, Dave, so you'll have had a good look at it.
Yeah, as I say, the main stats seem to be you put well and you scramble well.
Yeah.
And Harrington scrambled ridiculously well, didn't he, when he won last time? Mm. But could you have picked Harrington out, really?
Not really.
No.
It was his first European Tour win for a long time, wasn't it?
Yeah. I suppose Andy Sullivan gives credence to the course form does count because he's got a first and a second the last 2 years. And I think in theory, if you give it a good belt and you've got a good short game, I mean, Thomas Peters, if he was in form, it would be perfect for him, but his form's just got
it's hard
a bit
to work
missed.
Him out, isn't it, after those last three events?
It's like, has he sort of, does he now not get up for this sort of thing? Does he need
it's
a
like
sort
me,
of...
you don't get up for that.
He doesn't bother with these lessons.
I'm in putting contests, right, rubbish.
He's turning up for them, doesn't he? But the last three have been
strange.
He
used to win them, didn't he? It's like he's sort of gone up to a new level and he can't be doing with
if
this.
If at his
of
best,
thing.
He wins it, doesn't he? But we don't really know, do we?
Have you got any picks in this, Dave?
Yes. Slightly tentative, yes, but I'm going to just have half a point each way on somebody.
I've got a couple of picks. Okay. I quite like the event from a betting perspective here.
That's
so
good,
I've got a couple of bets. I'm going to start off with Thomas Detry at 50-1. I'm always tempted to get with a player in an event like this that has the potential to be better than most of the field, is aggressive and is in reasonable form, and Detry fits the bill. I think he's a fair price at 50-1 in this field as well. He's had a couple of chances to win in his rookie season, with a third in the Alfred Dunhill Championship and a tie for second in the BMW International as well. And he comes into this with a couple of decent recent results, having played okay in the Paul Laurie match play and finished inside the top 15 in Denmark, and then backed that up with a low-key tie for 38th in the KLM Open last week. Lens off the tee, I think, will be an asset this week. And it's worth noting that his win on the Challenge Tour last season came in the Bridgestone Challenge, where he recorded a winning total of 29 under par and had rounds of 60 and 63. So Thomas Detry, I think, could go well at a decent price at 50s.
Okay.
There you go.
Mine is a slightly defensive bet in the fact that if he wins, I'll just repeatedly hit myself in the head for about a week. Ryan Fox at 33-1. It's just, to me, he's your classic winner waiting to happen. So maybe why this course? Well, it's his course debut, but in theory, I think it should suit him. He smashes it miles off the tee. Last two tournaments, fifth for driving distance at the KLM, led the driving distance stats at the European Masters in Switzerland, and then lots of other high finishes in that category. Putting stats are pretty good as well. So I think he's got the kind of raw materials to do something big this week. And obviously, the main reason is that lots of recent form. If you track his results back from July, he's got six in the Open de France, fourth Irish Open, fourth Scottish Open, ninth in Switzerland a couple of weeks ago. Mm. Now, it was getting to the point where he was sort of fully kind of exposed. The market had got him. And then he's thrown in a tied 60th last week, which to me is neither here nor there. To me, everyone can just go a bit flat. But I think what it's done has got him back out to 33s when in theory he would have been 22s, 25s. So I think at 33s, I'm willing to give Ryan Fox a go because I think he will win soon.
The New Zealander, Dave Tindall's sole selection in the event. I'm going to finish off with a South African at 100-1, and Justin Walters is my second pick at 100s. I'm going to point each way. Must always be an emotional event for Walters, given that back in 2013 he finished second to rescue his card, and that result came a fortnight after his mother had passed away. And that's not only the decent result he's had in this event either. He finished 17th last year and was 21st in 2014. And Walters is one that had a string of missed cuts in the middle of the season, but he's bounced back with a couple of eye-catching results in the last few weeks, tied for 14th in the Made in Denmark, and he played as well as anyone over the last 54 holes in the Netherlands last week to finish in a tie for third. He's decent value, in my opinion, at 100-1. Justin Walters is my second selection. Mike, let me throw a question your way.
Ooh.
Was the name Lucas Beauregard on your mind here? Because he's got decent course form, and he finished ninth last week, or ninth a couple of weeks ago, and I know he's a player that you quite like.
I do like him, dear, but he's a bit of an unfilled potential man, isn't he? He's got course form and a couple of... certainly he was ninth last time out and top 20 a couple of runs before that. He hits it a good way. He just doesn't seem to get the job done, isn't he? He is.
Yeah.
He just always... Something seems to drop him away, so... Yeah, he'll win eventually, I think, but he's taking his time over it.
Who was the man that you... We're thinking about putting into
Shane Lowry.
Okay.
Shane Lowry was the man I was thinking of putting in there because he's won here in the past. He was seventh at the Wyndham in the US, which is a much tougher field than this last time out. I'm just wondering whether he's the right kind of proposition for an each way double, though, because in his last seven events in non-majors, he's had four top 20s but three missed cuts. So that is a little bit... Yeah, famine or faces, we like to say. But he has got a couple of good finishes in there. He's top 20 in the Irish Open, six in the PGA at Wentworth. But that seventh at Wyndham last time, I thought, was a good run by Lowry. And he really needs to get back climbing the ladder, doesn't he? Mm. I think, you know, that win, I think it was 2012 when he won here. That's, you know, that's eye-catching. So I'm tempted to put him in with my fancy in the US.
Okay, that's Shane Lowry at 16-1. Shall we move on to the Tour Championship?
Go for it, yeah.
This week's big event, and Jordan Spieth, you've heard of him, he's 5-1 favourite to win the tournament. Dustin Johnson is 7-1. Ricky Fowler, 8-1. John Rahm is 10s. Justin Thomas, 10-1. Jason Day is 12-1. Justin Rose is 14s. Mark Leishman and Paul Casey, both 18s, and it's 20s bar, and this is the... Season concluding once again in Eastlake, Atlanta, with the big event, the Tour Championship. And so far, Jordan Spieth holds the number one spot in the FedEx Cup rankings, despite not having won any of the three playoff events in the series. And the top five in the FedEx Cup rankings will win it all with victory in Eastlake. Justin Thomas is second in the standings, Dustin Johnson third, Mark Leishman after his win last week is fourth, and John Rahm, who's placed in the first three events, he's fifth in the standings. The weather at Eastlake looks like it might test the players this week, with heavy rain forecast on Friday. But this Donald Ross design, Mike, usually rewards strong iron play, and the fairways are some of the most difficult to find on tour as well. And it's still quite a meaty par 70, maybe 7,400 yards.
It's a good test, Dave, isn't it? I'd have the key criteria for me, the stats-wise, would be two fairly obvious ones, really. Strokes tee to green is quite important here. You're right, you do need to hit the fairways, I think. Probably more important than driving distance, as an example. And also that kind of hybrid greens in regulation start that I'm fond of. Strokes approaching the green is very important here. They're the two that I think are most important. It's not going to be a 25 to 30 under job here. It can be, you know, it's a really good test of different skills, actually. But those two are where my focus lay.
What's your angle in, Dave?
Yeah, I like strokes gained approaching the green, especially because my tip is first in that category for this season. Yeah, it's just a solid test in there. I expect one of the classier names to get the job done. I'm itching to go.
Go on then.
Can I just say control their own destiny? Because
you've got to say that, haven't you? I usually use that line every single time, but I thought I'd change it up slightly.
Bingo card going.
How many picks have you got, Dave, first of all?
Two.
How many have you got, Mike?
One.
I've got one, so we'll let you lead off, Mr. Tindall.
Yeah, absolutely obvious, beyond belief, Jordan Spieth at 5-1.
Yep.
You say he's not won a playoff event yet. Well, he's come second, and seventh. He's won
it's not
here.
Not very good, is it? He hasn't won one day.
No, he's not. He's made a few quid, though.
One or two. I would just say no.
Justifying winning, then. He's won here before. He's got a second here before, and it's in Georgia, where he's got a win and a couple of seconds in the Masters as well. So absolutely loves this state in America. As I said earlier, number one in strokes gain approaching the green. There's another little thing with him this week. He's won the FedEx Cup before, but he really rates being player of the year. And at the moment, if you were to vote now, you'd be giving it to Justin Thomas, wouldn't you? I think he'll still get it, even if Spieth wins. But if Spieth wins, Spieth would have four wins, the FedEx Cup, an Open Championship against Thomas's five wins and the USPGA. I think there's a debate there to be had.
Yeah, fair point.
And even Spieth himself says it might not be enough, but it's kind of a bonus motivation. I don't think he needs motivating anyway. He's just the one I trust most at this tournament. It's not a putting contest, but if anyone you're going to trust with your life to hold the putts still, it's him, isn't it? And
he finished seventh last week with a cold putter, didn't he, as well, which I think bodes well. His tee to green play in the FedEx Cup series has been
magnificent, hasn't it?
Incredible.
Yeah. And he closed with a 65 last week as well, so it's almost like he's just timing his run to perfection. He was interviewed after that round last week, and he said he's done a really good job of kind of, you know, preserving his energy this year, so he can go to Eastlake this time with a big chance of winning. I just think he's the one they all have to beat. And yeah, 5-1 doesn't float everybody's boat, but to me, it's just a win only at 5-1, and I'll happily put my money down and watch.
Yeah, I must admit, I've not gone with Spieth, but I do respect his chance. And I think he's a solid each way bet. I'd be surprised if he's out of the four.
Yeah, it's a fair call. There's only 30 runners, so you could argue some of these prices are a lot more appealing than 10s and 12s than they usually are in 156 runner fields.
Yep.
There's a lot of these guys.
I think a lot.
My pick is that kind of price.
I think a lot of them are sort of out of form, even though they're meant to be kind of the elite 30 players in some ways.
Away from the market leaders, you mean?
Yeah,
you could say that. Yes, you could.
So then how many sort of less likely that someone's going to pop up and suddenly get him?
Yeah, how many matters?
The fact of the matter is, though, that the Player of the Year award is going to be irrelevant when Justin Thomas wins.
That's why he's worth it.
He's my pick. I'm slightly disappointed that Mark Hadsed's a little bit under the market price. He's 10s rather than the 12s. That's elsewhere, but he ticks all the boxes here. That's a nice one for a
ticks all the boxes.
There you go.
I've got that one in. For this one, he's a no-brainer for me.
It's two.
I'm gonna. I'll stop now. He's eighth on the strokes tee to green start that I mentioned earlier, and the strokes gained approaching the green, he's six on that. So they're very strong stats, eights and six on those two key criteria. He's also actually got to scramble pretty well around here, I've noticed as well. So he's top 25 for that around the green stat. Was sixth here on debut last year, which interestingly enough, considering he finished 47th last week in the BMW, well, last year he finished 32nd before finishing sixth in this event. So I'm hoping a better player now than he was then, and that equally, seemingly, the last week's venue doesn't really suit him, whereas this one looked like it did last year to me. I like his chances. A lot. I noticed that he was 23rd in the HSBC after his CIMB win, so he had a little bit of a drop-off, but then was able to pick it up with a fourth and two wins straight after. So hopefully that one moderate outing following on from a good win at the Dell and in the PGA and a six in the Northern Trust, let's not forget. Justin Thomas is banging form. He'll want to get to win that FedEx Cup event, and he'll also want to be Player of the Year. I think he's got a very, very good chance this week.
It was interesting that he said before last week as well that he was using the BMW Championship.
He did say that, Dave.
As a little bit of a
I should have mentioned that. Yeah, he did. He did say that. And Dave mentioned it actually on the podcast, I think, didn't you? If I remember rightly, that he was preparing, using that as last week's event as a bit of preparation. Mm. Looked a little bit like that in truth, but he played well enough. I don't think he played anywhere near as moderately as his finishing position kind of suggests. I fancy him to finish the season with a bang. Look, I think it's a very good each-way bet.
Yep. While you two go for the market leaders, I'm going to go for someone at a decent price here.
Nothing wrong with that.
50-1, Charlie Hoffman. I quite like it in this event. As I mentioned, I think Spieth is a solid favourite, but this guy's 10 times the price. And I think he's got the ability to spring a shock. He's talked about how much he enjoys this test because it puts a demand on ball striking, which is his forte. And he was sixth at Eastlake on his debut in 2010. He's only made it to the playoffs twice before. Didn't fare as well when he was 22nd here a couple of years ago. It might be that he's gone off the boil slightly, but I think the return to Bermuda will definitely suit him. And it's difficult not to be taken with how he struck the ball last week. He ranked third in strokes gained tee to green and was first in one of the key stats that we've mentioned this week, strokes gained approach at the BMW.
Yeah.
Putted abysmally and fell away on Sunday. But on the back of a superb year, maybe he can sneak some place money at a big price. So 50-1 on a course that suits his game, Charlie Hoffman's my sole selection for the Tour Championship.
A brave pick.
A brave pick.
But again, there are only...
Could be foolhardy.
Well, I'm not saying that, but there are only 30 runners, so you've a chance,
got a
you?
Shot,
got you
a shot.
Got a shot in 50s is a decent price for a man in form.
Dave?
Yeah, I'm going to jump down a little bit as well. Not quite 50s, but 40s, so not too far off. Webb Simpson is okay. My second pick.
He plays well here, doesn't he?
He does.
Yeah, he's just got a bit like your Justin Walters tip. He's got course form and current form, that old classic formula.
Yep.
But Webb Simpson has only had four knocks at this venue, but he's got a fourth and a fifth in there, which is very impressive given the calibre of opposition he would have been facing. And he's someone who pops up every so often, it seems, this year, and then he sort of vanishes again, and you think, oh, well, is he ever going to win again with his putting? Well, one thing that absolutely made my eyes kind of go wide open was he was first in strokes
gained. That was a very good putting. Mime of why.
Yeah.
Eyes go wide open.
See
one
that.
Of the listeners
we
could see
the webcam,
it really brought it to life.
Yeah.
I've been practicing that as well. So that'll look good on the radio. So, yeah, Webb Sims, first in strokes gained putting last week. Is that how's he managed that, given... But it's got to give him some confidence.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I was just looking to see that he wasn't sort of 60th or something. Yeah. So to see him first was a bit of a bonus because I was going to put him up anyway. So putting well, driving the ball very accurately, I think that's... I'm not particularly a fan of driving accuracy, but I think at this venue, I think it definitely helps. And then you look at his results, the last four starts. He was third at the Wyndham Championship, sixth at the Northern Trust, then ninth at the BMW last week. The current form, course form, putting well, which is normally his Achilles heel. Put it all together. I just think 40-1 against people who I think are going the other way in terms of form. someone like Matsuyama sort of gone the other way.
He's a big price, though, isn't he? Because you play this tournament 6 weeks ago, and he's in at 7-1, isn't he?
I think he's not got over losing the USPGA.
That's a fair call.
Done his head in.
Yep.
That was such a big thing for him to try and get over the line there. I think Webb Simpson is a fair each-way price at 40s.
40-1. Plays Donald Ross designed golf course as well, doesn't he? This does suit him, this sort of test, definitely.
A couple of Englishmen, Dave. Well, I'm not saying I was that close to doing either of these, but a couple of Englishmen have very good course form, don't they? Justin Rose and Paul Casey. I mean, Rose in particular is... the last four outings here, his worst finish is sixth.
Yeah.
And he was second at the weekend on the back of a couple of top tens, so he probably deserves a strong mention. But I think all I just thought the market leaders were very strong here, so I didn't look any much further down. Patrick Cantlay continues to impress. He's 33.
He's got 12 events he's played. That's
he's
all.
Got
and
into
he's got
the
into
last
this.
30.
Yeah.
That's some achievement at his age.
It's a surprise that he's not in the President's Cup, isn't it? Really. I mean, I know that Mickelson and Hoffman are two strong picks, but I think if I was picking the team...
When did he pick it? About a month ago, was it?
Yeah, not even that long ago. I think it was a fortnight ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I don't think it was as long as a month. I mean, if you're thinking about... Always with the President's Cup, I think it's always players second fiddle to the Ryder Cup. And you're thinking about the next Ryder Cup, get Cantlay in there, bit of experience and match playing. Because I know that the Americans are going into the next Ryder Cup in France as huge favourites, but you'd think, you know, blood him.
Yeah, I know. I think you're right, Dave. I'd have picked him before Charlie Hoffman anyway, albeit I know he only missed out by such a heartbreakingly small amount that maybe they had to pick him. But I think Stricker seemed to want Mickelson on that team at any cost in the interim.
Yeah, I thought it was a bit conservative, wasn't it? Stricker's picked 240-plus-year-olds when he could. Like you say, shouldn't they be looking ahead?
Yeah, I think so.
Because they win this in their sleep, don't they, the President's Cup?
Well, you'd think so, yeah. And Patrick Cantlay, he's not like he's going to be an Achilles heel on that team, is it?
He's had an amazing run, hasn't he? So 12 events, is that all he played? So he's in the last 30. Yeah, amazing. So, but that was about it for me. I thought someone might have mentioned Dustin Johnson, who plays well, but just maybe isn't quite nailing it at the moment.
Yeah, I think that's
plays well here
comment.
Anyway, you know.
Yeah. Okay, chaps, that brings us to the end of the podcast. One final question. Who's the player you don't want to win this week? Have you got one?
Have we done staking plans, by the way?
We can do that at the end when we recap. Have you got a player you don't want to win?
Probably Rose, actually. I think he's got a big, big chance this week. But yeah, he'd be the one.
Yeah, I think I'd be Lucas Beauregard in the other event.
Would you?
My player that I don't want to win. I think if I was having three picks... He'd have been in there, he'd be my guy.
I would go for Thomas Peters just because I've backed him a few times lately, and he just played awful, didn't he? In the last three events, but he's got such talent, so we'll have to see. But I've got him on the naughty step a little bit. Mm. Yeah, I have. After his PGA performance,
it takes a while to get off that step, doesn't it? Sometimes
it takes a hell of a long time. It takes longer to get off than on.
Okay, let's recap the selections with the staking plan this week. Dave, you lead us off.
Yes, I'll go half a point each way. Ryan Fox in Portugal, then in the Tour Championship, 3 points win. Jordan Spieth at 5-1, and just half a point each way. Webb Simpson at 40s.
Mike,
I will have 3 points win and a point place on Justin Thomas. Should we do a Justin double? Justin Thomas and Walters.
Oh, could do, couldn't we?
We could do.
That sounds like a good plan.
Probably.
Yeah, Justin Rose as well.
Justin Leonard.
Justin Hayward will be singing at the ceremony.
From semi-retirement to win, yeah. And I might have a very tiny each-way double with him and Shane Lowry in the Portugal Masters.
I'm going to point each way Thomas Detry at 50-1, point each way on Justin Walters at 100-1, and a point each way Charlie Hoffman at 50-1. And that wraps up the podcast, chaps. And thank you, Mike, for your company.
Dave, there is a Champions Tour event again this week. Not one of my favourites, but I'm going to have a look at it after Bernhard Langer let me down and two bogeys late on when he should have been a playoff on Sunday. But other than that,
so you can't put him on the naughty step. He's too good, though, isn't he?
He's he's amazing.
At M. Grenham. So do keep your eye out for that tweet. from at M Grenham. You can follow myself at D Kellner and Dave Tindall at Dave Tindall Golf. Dave, thank you for your company.
Thank you.
Thank you everyone that's tuned in and listened to the podcast. Do get your bets on for the Portugal Masters and the Tour Championship. Check out this podcast at audioboom.com by typing in William Hill, and you can subscribe to get it delivered weekly via iTunes as well. And of course, check out all the betting at williamhill.com. And if you're having a punt this week, good luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.